You know, in the last lecture, or maybe in the last few lectures, we discussed a rotor model on the lattice. However, we consider a very special ground state. That is, the ground state is a superposition of so-called strings. Strings are very simple. You know, if you take a rotor equal to LZ equal to zero as a background, then that's like a no string. And then a loop of LZ equal to one will be our string. But here I want to emphasize that the string we discussed so far are oriented. Means a loop of LZ equal to one may be describe a string going in that direction. And the loop of LZ equal to minus one would describe a string in the opposite direction, which really reflects in our two B operator. You know, the B operator really create a string in one orientation, and the B dagger operator create a string in the opposite orientation. If you apply B operator twice, what do you get? We get string of double strands in one direction. So string have a strength. It's labeled by the integer z. And the string with the strength n and the minus n would have opposite orientation. And this is very crucial. And this oriented string, and when they form liquid states, we find the string density would give us a collective mode, which satisfies Maxwell's equation. Basically, that's what happens. So now there are several questions. Maybe in this, today we will address two questions. You know, when you have oriented string, orientable string, when you have they form a liquid, you get the Maxwell equation, which have a more formal name called U1 gauge theory. And U1 is a gauge group. But there's many other gauge theories, like SU2 gauge theory describe weak interaction, SU3 gauge theory describe strong interaction. Or you may even have a gauge theory of discrete group, like a Z2, Z3, or S3, whatever. So there's the issue that can other gauge theory emerge from some kind of a rotor model or qubit model? That's one thing. And second question is that in the last lecture, we described that the open string, which corresponds to a bosonic object, but which that corresponds to charge, because open string have two ends. So knowing open string is a bosonic object, the charge on the two particle on the two ends can still be fermion. So it's raised a question, whether the end of string is a boson or fermion. So that's became a question. Then we have a difficulty. If you try to thinking about that, you know, what do you mean by boson? What do you mean by fermion? You know. So what is boson? What is fermion? The trouble is that, you know, our previous definition of a fermion, for example, using this anti-symmetric wave function, or using this anti-commuting creation operator, or using Grassmann number field theory, all these descriptions are too formal. So they are not easy to apply to our case. So you have an string as a particle, but what is statistic of this particle? You know, it seems difficult. So today we'll try to find a way to address such question. So first let's try to go into some other gauge group. So for the oriented string we get. We get U1 gauge theory. So U1 gauge theory really give us this the ground states. It come from this superposition of all loops. But here I want to say that maybe like that all in front is orientable loops, the loops with orientation. So now we consider another state, which is an unorientable loop that's at U in it. We can consider this an unorientable loop. And one may wonder, what do you get? You know, equal with the superposition of orientable loops, who's the correct mode gave us U1 gauge theory? If you do some unorientable loops, what do you get? So that seems a very natural generalization. You may say, what is unorientable loop? Well, it's pretty simple. When you have a spin 1/2 system, it's very easy to have a model for unorientable loops because you can assume a spin up is your reference state, just like MI equal to 0 is a reference state for the rotor model you consider. We think a spin up is a reference state. If spin up is a reference state, then a loop of spin down will be our loops. And there is no, because we only have one kind of a loop, because there's only one, just spin down. There's no plus one, minus one. So you can see in a rotor model, the MI can be zero. That means no string. But it can be plus one or minus one. And this plus one, minus one describe string orientations. But when you do this spin 1/2 model, spin up means no string. The loop of spin down, it means a string, but there's no other spin down. So there's only one kind of a string. So it's unorientable. Then you can imagine we have this model. It's a spin up, it's reference states, and the superposition of a loop of down spins is a particular ground state. So what's going on here? So what is the property of this ground state? So this is actually the situation we are going to study here. Actually, such a ground state, this sum over, you know, all these spin down loops, is the exact ground state of a Hamiltonian. And such Hamiltonian have a very similar structure, have this Q term, have the B term, and have a J term. Okay, so let me explain those terms. And so for the Q term, oh, I see, there's some cut. Q term is a product of a sigma z, is here. The spin 1/2 is a limb on the link. The Q term is just a product of sigma z, okay. So therefore, the Q term have a large coefficient in it. So that means it prefer that the product sigma z equal to be equal plus 1. Sigma z have two eigenvalues, plus 1, minus 1. So the Q term prefer the product sigma z on each vertex all equal to plus 1. So that means if all spin up, it's OK, because the product sigma z equal to 1. And that's have a low energy. However, if one of the spin is down, that's bad, because we have 3 plus 1 minus. Their product will be the minus 1 that's cause big energy. So therefore, the Q term, this U term or Q term says that there are only even number of down spin going into each vertex. That's like a string condition, no open end. So if a down spin means a string, means if you have a down spin going in, there must be down spin going out. So there's only even number of down spin attaching one each vertex. So therefore, U term give us this closed loop condition. Then similarly, B term is very similar. B term is product sigma x. Sigma x is a spin flip. Just if I act on the down spin, give you up spin, up on up spin, give a down spin, it's a spin flip. So therefore, the sigma x, the product sigma x around each plaquette, that's a B term, just flip spin along these loops. So that's create a small loop of strings. And that's it. And the J term is like a string tension. But actually, in the following design, we'll set the J term to 0. So no string tension. We only have a U term and a G term. Okay. And then using very similar reason, say that if you only have a U term, G equal to 0, then any closed loop state will be the lowest energy state. So ground state is highly degenerate. It's very similar to the rotor model we considered before. If you also have a G term, Then the G term makes different loop configurations. And so it prefers certain superposition of loop configuration have lowest energy. Because the G term have a negative sign, so it prefers this equal weighted superposition of all possible loops. And this one actually is eigenstate of B operator. When B operator acts on this, B on the placket, we'll get the eigenvalue, we get eigenvalue plus 1. Because when the B operator acts on this, because this sum of all possible loops, when you create small loops, you just map one loop configuration to another loop configuration. Since you already sum all possible loop configuration, then after the mapping, the sum is still the same thing. So therefore, this state is an eigenstate B operator with eigenvalue 1. And then because G is positive, we have minus sign there. So therefore, this equal superposition have a lowest energy. So that's it. So therefore, this particular spin 1/2 Hamiltonian take this one as a ground state. This is the exact ground state. So okay. Then this then here I want to argue that actually that model describes a Z2 gauge theory. It's a Z2 gauge theory. And you know, here we have a slight difficulty here, because usually when you say a model is a gauge theory or not gauge theory, you should say, do you have a gauge field? What is gauge symmetry? And if a model have no gauge field, have no gauge symmetry, how do you say a model is a gauge theory? And here I want to make a point is that the gauge field and the gauge symmetry are not physical. They are not something you can measure by experiments. So gauge theory, or gauge field and the gauge symmetry are symbols or formalism we artificially introduce to describe a gauge theory, which is not necessary, actually. It's not a physics of a gauge theory. It's just a formality of a gauge theory. And this spin 1/2 model is another formalism of gauge theory. It's different from this standard formulation. It's just like the rotor model we studied. You can see the rotor model we studied, what it is? It's just some kind of rotor on the lattice. Some kind of, you can see, a spin model or boson model. But, so there's no sign of a gauge field. But however, you know, for the rotor model, later we show that at the end of the low energy, we have a collective mode, which is such the Maxwell equation. So that's really emergence of gauge theory. And the lattice model you start with have no gauge field. So that's became, so therefore, it became an issue. What is gauge theory? You know, for the rotor model, it's easier because the Maxwell equation essentially defined the UN gauge theory. If you find it, there's a collective mode at the low energy described by Maxwell equation. That's a physics. And then you identify physically that rotor model at the low energy behave like a U1 gauge theory. So now we want to identify the spin model as a Z2 gauge theory. So it's really, the point is following, what is the physical definition of a Z2 gauge theory? So that is an issue. It's not a formal definition of we have a Z2 gauge field, we have Z2 connection, we have Z2 gauge symmetry. Those are not physics. And physics is something you can measure by experiments or computer. You know, you can put your model in the computer, get some number out, and then you say what kind of a number characterizes Z2 gauge theory. So that's what I mean by physical characterization. And here I want to say that the ground state degeneracy on a torus actually is a wonderful physical characterization of Z2 gauge theory. Not only one, but one of them. And actually, Z2 gauge theory have a special property that on the torus, it have fourfold ground state degeneracy. Have fourfold degeneracy. That's in two-dimensional Z2 gauge theory. So why is fourfold? Yeah. maybe let me not explain that. So it's a one of character. And on the high genius Riemann surface, actually, degeneracy is a 4 to the g. G is the genius of the Riemann surface. Okay. So this is a so this Z2 gauge theory have this property. But actually, it have a this degenerate quantity is very striking, actually. You know, you say degenerate quantity is not surprising because, for example, you have an icing model. The spin up is one degenerate quantity, spin down is another degenerate quantity. So what? Just degenerate quantity, just degenerate quantity. Why degenerate quantity here is so important? The degenerate quantity here is very special. The degeneracy is robust against any perturbation for Z2 gauge theory. Actually, if Z2 gauge theory has this property, you can add any perturbation to the Z2 gauge theory. As long as perturbation is not too big, you cannot lift degeneracy on the Riemann surface. So it's a topologically robust degeneracy. And that makes it very special. Like in the icing model, we don't have that because the spin up is the one degenerate quantum state, spin down is another degenerate quantum state. But when you add the magnetic field in the Z direction, you make the two degenerate quantum states unequal. You split the degeneracy by applying the magnetic field. But however, for the Z2 gauge theory, degeneracy is robust. There is no perturbation you can add to the theory to lift the degeneracy. And this is, when you think about that, this would be very striking and strange. You know, usually degeneracy is accident. But why you have a model, you have degenerate ground state, you can add any perturbation, you cannot lift degeneracy. This would be really strange. Okay, so let me try to explain this feature. So actually, the spin 1/2 model we described actually have this feature. And so that's actually that's I think one of the students raised this when this rotor model. I think you raised this question. So on the torus, we could have say for example we can have this kind of string configuration, which is string wrap around torus. So in this configuration, we have a 3-string wrap around torus in a y direction. So we assume purely boundary condition from here to here. Now let's imagine we apply a B operator here. You know, U operator don't do anything because U just a closed string condition. This is, all these things are closed strings. We apply the B operator, string creation operator. The B operator flips spin here, here. So these two spin became from up to down. But also flip these two down spin from down to up. After that, this string configuration will go into this string configuration if you apply the B operator here. Okay, so you can see the string configuration changed. But there is one conservation law here, some kind of topological conservation law, which is the number of string going in y direction from 3 to 1. But it remains to be odd. Remain to be odd. Actually, the even or oddness of a string goes going in y or x direction are conserved under this ZB operation, under this B operation. So therefore, although this B operator changed the string configuration, but it cannot change the evenness, oddness of string going through a whole torus. So therefore, there's a four sectors. There's a four sector. The four sector is that the even, odd. And this four sector cannot be mixed by those string hopping operator. And so they became degenerate. So that's why we have four degeneracy because we have four sectors. Yes?
The same energy necessarily?
Hmm?
Like there are ground states in their respective sectors?
Why they have same energy? That's very, very question. Because our Hamiltonian are local.
Okay.
And when you look at the local packing system, you have no way to know whether there's a global way, there's an even number of loops going all the way through torus or out now. You don't know. So this is very, very key. Somehow the even number of loop or odd number of loop going all the way through system is global information. By examining any local patch, you have no way to tell the difference. So that's why it's locally indistinguishable, but globally orthogonal. This is the key. Yes.
So this Z2 symmetry is that, I mean, it looks like it's a good consequence of having cubic lattice.
Cubic lattice, you have this, this is square lattice, actually, in two dimensions. But this model applies to any lattice.
But then not any lattice
would
have Z2 symmetry.
No, it's not Z2 symmetry. So here, Z2 gauge theory, I hate to say gauge symmetry, not symmetry. This is a Z2 gauge theory, it's a four-fold degeneracy. On any lattice, you have four-fold degeneracy, as long as two dimensions. You can construct similar model because, say, on a triangle lattice, honeycomb lattice, as long as you have a loop for downspin, superposition loop downspin, you have this similar property. They don't care. The square lattice is not important here. Yeah. And actually, I want to say that degeneracy is not exact. The degeneracy is not exact. Because if you allow open strings, if this string can be opened, then when the open end going in all the way around the torus, then you can remove one string. Okay. Suppose you break the string, you create an open end. Then one open end just hop all the way around the torus and annihilate with the other open end in the other way. Then one string is removed. And this process actually split degeneracy. But also we can see that the energy barrier is a proportional system size. Because to mix these sectors, we have to have open strings. And the open end as a quasi particle has to hop all the way around the torus to change from one sector to another sector, to mix different sectors. And so therefore, because such process do exist, this quantum tunneling do exist, like our superfluid vortex tunneling, they do exist. So therefore, the four-fold degeneracy is not exact. On any finite system, there's splitting. But on the other hand, the splitting gets smaller and smaller when you take thermodynamic limit. And splitting exponentially small in large system size. And this is what I mean by this protected degeneracy. It's really this splitting becomes smaller when system size getting bigger. And also, this splitting remains to be exponentially small no matter what perturbation added to this model. You know, even add any perturbation, you still have a degeneracy. So this is the nature of a topological theory, topological field theory. So topological field theory is a theory which have a no scale. That's another definition of topological field theory, no scale. But however, from the condensed matter point of view, it's a topological field theory is a theory which only characterized by degenerate ground state. Because degenerate grounds have no scale. They are degenerate. You don't have any energy scale. But then you say, if a theory is only five ground degeneracy, that seems pretty trivial. Well, it's not trivial because ground degeneracy depend on the topology of a space. When space have a different topology, the ground degeneracy will be different. And this is a physical character of a topological field theory. Where is the ground state degenerate? But however, the degeneracy depends on topology of a space. Okay, so that is one thing. Any question here? So therefore, I try to say that this model we considered here, this particular model, is a kind of topological field theory, whose physical character is that. The ground degeneracy on the GNC Riemann surface is 4 to the G's power. And you may ask, which topological field theory have this property? Well, the Z2 gauge theory is the one of the topological theory have this property. Actually, not many. There's a few topological field theory have this property. So therefore, only from degenerate ground state, we cannot distinguish everything. But at least we can distinguish a lot. You know. But here, what we'll emphasize that the gauge connection and the gauge symmetry, they all kind of a formal and not really physical. The really physical thing is this thing you can measure, like a ground degeneracy. And certainly another physical thing is the quasi-particle statistics. Okay, so what is now let's describe another thing is quasi-particle statistics, which is very important here. And so as I mentioned that the open string, like this, this is like open string. The open string will be would correspond to some kind of excitation in the model, a topological excitation in the model. Okay. So let's look at the open string. Actually, here I want to introduce so-called string operator. You know, the product of sigma x along an open line, an open loop, open curve will be the open string operator. It has a flip spin along this curve. So therefore, if you apply this open string operator to the state, you'll create open string with two n. And then I want to emphasize that when you create open string, then the qi on these two will change from 1 to minus 1. You know, 1 have a lowest energy, but the minus 1 would have high energy of u. Okay, so that's one excitation. There is another excitation, is that you can see in this ground state, the B operator on every plaquette equal to 1. If you create an excitation, we have to make a B operator equal to minus 1, because B operator have two eigenvalues plus minus 1. If you make B operator to be minus 1, that's also cost energy of G, not U, but not cost energy. So how to make an excitation where B operator changing from 1 to minus 1? Okay, well, we can also use the so-called another type open string operator. But this open string operator is a string now is defined a dual lattice. It's a connecting the center of a square. And it's a product sigma z. Okay. So now you can see that actually this open string operator would change the B operator on these two ends. Because B operator is a product sigma x. Okay. So this string operator is a sigma z. So now I can see this sigma z intersect with this sigma x. So we have a B operator here. And a sigma z, sigma x on that commute. So when you apply, when you have a sigma z here, then you apply B operator on top of it. Then the sigma z flip and the sigma x on that commute, you get the minus sign. So therefore, when you apply this, this kind of open string operator, it flip. If you apply this kind of string operator on that ground state, then you apply B operator on every square. You find on this square, because we have a two sigma x, two sigma z and two sigma x, so they remain to be commuting. But here I have one sigma x, sigma z, they become anti-commuting. So the B operator becomes minus here and minus here. Okay. So therefore we have two kinds of excitation. One is the end of a string, another is the end of the other type of string, which make this B operator changing sign. Actually, this is very similar to the charge and the model we studied before, but this is two dimension. So this end of a string operator, this end actually is a Z2 charge. And the end of this string of where the B operator changing sign is a Z2 vortex. So that's a Z2 charge, Z2 vortex in Z2 gauge theory. Okay. And then I want to say that once you understand the Z2 charge, Z2 vortex, now we can understand that the Z2 charge, Z2 vortex have a pi mutual statistics. Basically, it's very simple. If you move a Z2 charge around the Z2 vortex, you get the change, the wave function changing sign. You get a minus sign. So that's mutual statistics. And how do you see that? This open string operator like this is a hopping operator of a Z2 charge. Because when you apply this open string operator, so if you add open string operator, say, from here to here, then the Z2 charge will hop from here to here if you add another open string operator here. So therefore, this open string operator looks like a hopping operator. So therefore, if we have a, suppose we have a, this, we have this, suppose we have this plaquette, where the B operator equal to minus 1 here. We have a space. And then we suppose we have the open string here. Then we're using this open string operator to hop from here to here to here to here to back to it. Go back to original. So this is the end of open string, just hop from here to here to here to here. But this hopping operator corresponds to, we apply the sigma x here, sigma x here, sigma x here, and sigma x here. So this open string and the open string hop around this plaquette is like applying 4 sigma x around this plaquette. That's make the end move to here. When you apply 1 sigma x, move to here, apply another sigma x, and etc. Then at the end, we see that when you go through this loop, what we get? We get a product of 4 sigma x along this edge. And this is the B operator. If we say that we already have an extension here where B equal to minus 1, that means when this end hop around this edge, we're going to face minus 1. OK. And this is another character, physical character of Z2 gauge theory. Z2 gauge theory have two kind of excitation. We call Z2 charge, Z2 vortex. They have a mutual pi statistics. Means when you move Z2 charge around the Z2 vortex, we get a minus sign. And when you move Z2 vortex around the Z2 charge, you also get a minus sign. And so this model indeed have that properties. OK. So we can see that there's how the statistics coming out from this string model. Okay. So any question here? Okay. So actually I think I prepared too much here, so let's jump. So far we consider is a 2D model. So actually in 3 dimension, we can have very similar things. In 3 dimension, we can also consider a Hamiltonian, which is a Q term and a B term. Now the Q is a product of a sigma z. You know, again here we have a spin half operator on the links, okay. Say on this vertex, there's a 6 link connect to that vertex. Then the Q operator simply product sigma z on this 6 link attaching to this vertex. It's very similar to the Q we defined before. On the square, each vertex have only 4 links. Then the Q will be the product sigma z on these 4 links. In a 3-dimensional cubic lattice, each vertex have a 6 link attached, so then we have a product 6 link. And then the B operator is the same as before. On every square, so like on every square, we can have this a sigma x, product of sigma x around every square. Again, this model, just like 2D model, is insoluble in the sense Q operator, B operator totally commute. They just commute. Yeah, I didn't emphasize that in the 2D model. The Q and the B commute. So they can be solved exactly. And the common eigenstate of Q operator, B operator give us all eigenstates. And again, very similarly, the ground state is now it's a 3-dimensional loops. The superposition of all possible 3-dimensional loops is a ground state of this Hamiltonian. Okay. So that's a ground state of that Hamiltonian. And so this gave us a 3-dimensional Z2 gauge theory. Its character is that on a 3-dimensional torus, the degenerate ground state is 8, not 4, it's 8. There's 8 for the degenerate ground state. And also it have a open string. This end of string is a Z2 charge. Okay. So using these two models, I try to demonstrate that we can have a different gauge field. For the orientable string, we got a U1 gauge field. For this unorientable string, we got a Z2 gauge field. And we can get other gauge field, which I don't have time to discuss, which is a kind of picture here. Is that if we allow string to branch, so that's what string net comes from. You know, so far we don't consider loops. If a string can branch, and you can assign certain branching rules and etc., you can get the other knob in engaged group. Yeah, but I won't discuss here. And here I just want to discuss the next issue, is that how Fermi statistics come about. You know, in the two-dimensional Z2 model, we already see a little bit of sign for statistics, but in terms of mutual statistics, that the Z2 vortex and Z2 charge have the pi mutual statistics. And now here I really want to study statistics itself. Again, I want to address question. In this Z2 model, what is the statistic for end of string? The answer for that is for this model, the end of string is a boson, not Fermi. But however, we can have another model. We call the twisted model. You know, it's very similar to this Z2 model with a slight twist. Slight twist is found we modify the B operator. You can see the B operator here is just a creation of a string, a loop of string. Then with some amplitude, say minus G. That's what the B operator is. However, in this twisted model, we modify the phase. Again, the B operator in the twist model still kind of like a product of sigma x, that is a create small loop string. But we add a phase, sigma z is like a, in a z, at least in z basis, it's just a phase, plus or minus one. But this phase is not constant, it's not like we just add a minus sign here. So this phase is minus one, plus one, depend on the spin configuration on the legs. Okay, so that's what I mean. So 1, 2, 3, 4, that's a full spin on the square. 5, 6 are these two, you know, it's a spin on this link and a spin on that link. So it's very strange, you know, whether creating a loop on this square have a plus amplitude or minus amplitude depend on whether spin on this 5 or 6 is up or down. It's very strange, seems pretty artificial model. But actually, there is a rules here. The rule actually is following. In the twist model, this B actually is like a string operator. They create a small loop. But this string operator have a so-called, have some kind of a hairs or have some face. That is following. Suppose we have, let's connect a general string operator. We have this string. We can apply sigma z or sigma x here to create a string. So that sigma x on this is a string creation operator. Then what we do is that we add a framing line. Just a shifted, add a framing line next to the string. Then we say this line cross which link? Is this line cross this link, and cross this link? Then we modify a face. On this string operator, we add a phase term. This phase is a product of sigma z, only on this cross the links that is the framing. And this two, you know, there are two spins here, there are two legs here. There are sigma z here, and sigma z here, but they don't cross. So therefore, the sigma z here, do not enter this phase. So this is a rule. So actually, this closed loop operator here is this twist one with this framing. The framing is a blue line drawing inside this this square. You can see this blue line cross this link and cross that link. And so therefore 5 and 6 enter here. You may say, why you define the operator in such a strange way? The reason for that, if you define this operator in this way, this B operator still maintain the property that they commute with each other. All the B operator commute with each other. It's not obvious, actually. Because now B operator would contain both sigma max and sigma z. So we have two B operators, the sigma max, sigma z may overlap, and the B operator may not commute. But actually, we will design the B operator using this framing, using these rules. It's a guarantee that the any two B operator as a loop, they always commute with each other. Okay. So therefore, because of this, this is still a commuting, sum of commuting operator. It's still sum of commuting operator. And this model can still be solved exactly. But the difference is that now because this string hopping operator can have a plus minus sign depending on other string configuration. So therefore, for the twist model, the ground state is still superposition of all loops, but now the amplitude is not all equal to one. Sometimes plus sign, sometimes minus sign. So it's representing a different kind of a string condensed state. You know, equal to superposition is the string condensed state. But this particular model, the ground state is have a plus minus sign, actually. Only plus minus sign, no phase, just plus minus sign. And it's different string condensed state. It turns out that by doing this different string condensed states, we get the fermions. And the end of string in this model actually is a fermion. And now the question is, you know, how do you know it's a fermion? Okay. And now here I just want to say the following. How do you know the end of string is a fermion? The argument is the following. You can see we have this string operator. Okay, we have this string operator. Okay. The string operator may be addressed by this phase in the twist model, or maybe undressed, you know, in the other model. So but however this different string operator would give us different statistics. Maybe I'm not very clear. So actually this string operator create a pair of excitation. The string operator create a pair of excitation. And what is the statistics of this pair of excitation? This property is encoded in the property of a string operator. So by knowing the structure of a string operator, we can calculate statistics. But first, let me say the following, let me address the following question. Why don't you use this string operator to create an open string in a twisted model? You know, and this also creates a string. Why don't you use this operator to create a string in a twisted model? You know, in this twisted model, why not? You cannot do that because if you're using this untwisted string operator, the untwisted string operator do not commute with these two operator. So therefore, if you're using this untwisted string in a twisted model, the string itself would cost a lot of energy. You know, the string operator have this property that the good string operator have the property that when you try to commute this string operator with Hamiltonian, you find Hamiltonian commute with every middle part of a string operator. They commute. So therefore, the middle part of a string operator costs no energy. The Hamiltonian only do not commute at the end of a string operator. So only end costs energy. So only end corresponds to excitation. And that's very important. For the untwisted model, we should use this untwisted string. Because this untwisted string has this property that only end do not commute with Hamiltonian. The middle commute with Hamiltonian costs no energy. It's unobservable. In the twisted model, we have to use this twisted string operator. Because only twisted string operator commute with a Hamiltonian, except at the end. Okay. So this really connects our logic. From the Hamiltonian model, Hamiltonian allows us to choose what is the proper string operator. Then from the proper string operator, we can calculate the statistics. For the untwisted model, we should use this as our open string operator to create a pair of excitation or charge. For a twisted model, we should use this twisted string operator to create a pair of charge. And then from this different structure of a string operator, we can obtain statistics. How? And actually, it's from another way to understand statistics. Is that to determine the statistics of a Hopping particle? Now, we think about a Hopping model. You know, you study the Hopping model, you know, in the first few class. So we consider a particle hopping on the lattice. We all have only one particle hopping, which that's the problem you studied. So there's no statistics to worry about when you have a one particle. But when we have two particle hopping on the lattice, then two particle may have statistics, because when these two particle hop, get exchanged, well, the hopping give you a minus sign, not give you a minus sign, determine the statistics. So from here, I want to say that when you have two particle hopping on the lattice, it is the hopping operator, the structure of hopping operator, or the, more precisely, the algebra of hopping operator, determine the statistics. So if you know how two particles hop on the lattice, you know their hopping operator precisely. From an algebra of a hopping operator, you can determine the statistics of the two particles. So this is another more physical way to determine statistics rather than from the commutation of equation operator or Grassmann field, you know. This is a hopping algebra of a hopping operator determines statistics. And here I just explain why. So suppose we can consider the particle on the four side. It's a 1, 2, 3, 4. That's four side. That's a minimal number of sites to see statistics. At the beginning, you have two particles here. Okay, so we have two ways to hop from here to make two particles to be here, the other two sides. We can hop this, we can hop A first, then hop from B to C, then from D to B. So therefore, that's an action of this four hopping operator. This T is a hopping. So from A to B, B to C, then from D to B. Then we change this configuration to that configuration. But then we can also do differently. We can hop this circle first, from D to B, that's D to B first. Then the hopping from B to C, that's another hopping. Then we from A to B. If you do that, we get this configuration. The end configuration is the same in the sense we have two particles occupy B and C. But now here, although this B and D are identical particles, I purposely using different symbol. So you can see this end state have exchange, differ by the exchange two particle. Okay, and this is my bottom line. Is that so you can see the effect from here to here or here comes from the different order of the three hopping operator. We have same three hopping operator, but a different order. You know, one is a blue, green, red, another is a red, green, blue. So it kind of totally just exchange blue and red. It's a different order. If hopping operator have the algebra that this and this differ by a sign, then that means this particle have Fermi statistics. If this three or product of three operator in different order have no sign, then that means they are bosons. So this is really from the algebra of a hopping operator to calculate statistics. So if you know in a two particle case how the hopping operator acts in a two particle case, then from this by solving this hopping Hamiltonian for the two particle case, you should know statistics because two particles can see statistics. Okay, then what this has anything to do with the string model? Because this hopping operator is nothing but the open string operator. The open string operator can be viewed as a creation of a particle here, a particle here. It can also be viewed as hopping of a particle from here to here. Because when you already have a particle, when you add another open string operator, then basically you move the particle and the string from here to here. So therefore, the open string operator is nothing but this particle hopping operator. So therefore, this algebra of a particle hopping basically is algebra of open string. If you know the open string operator, you check this algebra. You can know whether it's a boson or fermion. So for the untwist operator, it's very simple. For the untwist operator, the open string operator is this. So now let's consider this this case. We have this, we have A, B, C, D. So we have this three, we have a three spin here. So that's A is here, so that could be open string can be, open end can be here, here, or here, or here. So that's a, but only this three side, three spin are involved is a red, purple, and green. Okay. And for the, in the untwist case, the open string operator from A to B is simply just a sigma 2, just a sigma 2. And then the hopping from B to D to B, just sigma x 1. So sigma x at 1, so B to D is sigma x at 1. And then from B to C is only this just flip spin here. So that's the sigma 3 x. So therefore, in the untwisted case, the sigma, this three hopping operator just three sigma x. Three sigma x are different size, they all commute. So therefore, that's why we say for the untwisted case, the end of the string are bosons. For the twisted case, we have to add a framing. Because twisted case have this framing. So therefore, for this, you can see from this A to B, we have to have this red line here. That's a one framing. The framing has to be all connect, actually. So this blue line is a framing for the B to D, and this green line is framing from B to C. So we have to add a framing. When you add the framing, you can see that for A to B hopping, it has a sigma 2x, that's sigma 2 signal. But this line, this framing cross two legs, cross this four, cross this leg involving spin four, also cross this leg involving spin one. So therefore, TAB adding framing, adding twist would have a sigma z one and a sigma z four, because that's coming from this cross the leg. And similarly, for the green one, from B to C, we have sigma x3, so sigma x3 is here. But this green framing only cross one leg. That's it, that's a, this five, spin five. So we have a sigma z5 here. And the B to D, we have this very short framing which do not cross anything, so B to D just a sigma one. Okay, so this design, so when you're adding this twist, adding this, the cross the legs, then we obtain this a different hopping operator with some face. And you can check that for this three operator, there's a minus sign. We're changing that, there's a minus sign. And that is a fermion theory. So this actually basically is the end of the story. And this is a very, actually this result is quite remarkable. Because in two dimension, we know for a long time how to change the statistics. We just bind the flux with the charge. When you bind the flux with charge, you can change the statistics. But for three dimensional model, to know how to change the statistics is highly, highly non-trivial. Actually, so without help of string, I don't know any way to change the statistics. So this is a generic way when you have a string, then the statistics can be modified by string. So basically, what I really try to say is that you know, although the string carry no energies, you can see only end of string carry energy. String carry no energy is kind of unobservable. So it looks like you want to remove the string and look at this particle as a local excitation. But actually, in some case, you cannot really remove that. This string also costs no energy. But when you exchange two particles, this string winding around may give you some phase. And that phase costs give you Fermi statistics. So that's one way to look at this result. why we start with a bosonic model, like a spin 1/2 bosonic model on a link. At the end, you get a fermion out, because this fermion is not very local. The fermion really end the string have this string attached, although have no energy, but it had entanglement. An entanglement can change statistics. That's one way to look at it. Another way to look at it is falling. For the string condensation, if you don't have a plus minus sign, this simple string condensation, the end string is a boson. But when the string can have a plus minus sign or have a more complicated phase, the statistics of end string can change when you're changing the string condensation wave function. And in two dimension, in three dimension, we only can have a fermion. In two dimension, we can have a fractional statistics, and even now, Abelian statistics, which is the part which I skipped. And, but that's a little bit too complicated. And so therefore, so in some sense, this kind of a development is kind of currently is a kind of new research era in condensed matter physics, where you have a string condensation, you have emergence of gauge field, emergence statistics. Yeah. And what surprised me is that it's not because it's new, it's because it's old. You know, string condensation is a new state matter. You know, people didn't study that before. People studied like a spin up state, spin down states, you know, those are kind of magnetic states. And the string condensed states is a kind of new, highly entangled states. So that's a new state. Usually, when you have a new state, it's easy to expect you have a new excitation. You have excitation you've never seen before. But what surprised me is that we have a new state of matter, but all their excitation is an old one. And we already have it, yeah, and name it. Means gauge theory. You know, the name of gauge theory, gauge boson, is before the string condensation. And the fermion, again, is discovered before the string condensation. So therefore, we have a new state, but seems that their excitation are all our old friends. And why is that? So here is one explanation for that. Certainly, it's not scientific explanation. It's conjecture that their excitation are old really because our vacuum is a string condensed state. Because the vacuum string condensed state, we study the particle in the vacuum all the time. Certainly, we know those particles, but we don't know whether vacuum is a string condensed state. So the fact that the string condensed state gave us all these our old friends really suggests maybe our vacuum is really a string condensed state. So that's really echo what I tried to say in my first lecture. So somehow using string condensation. It's really, so what I really try to emphasize here is it's really, we kind of unify the gauge interaction and the Fermi statistics. You know, in a string liquid, the gauge interaction and Fermi statistics just a two side of the same coin. You know, just two physical property of the same structure, you know, and they all come out very naturally. And actually, from this point of view, there's a prediction that is every fermion must carry a certain gauge charge. So, and this prediction probably can be tested by experiments, but not very easily. Okay, I think I would just end here. And one summarize is that although what I'm talking about seems emphasizing on this a connection to the elementary particle physics. But in the condensed matter physics, on the experimental side, there is effort to find materials which actually realize these string liquid states. And it's not so easy because the model which have a string liquid condensation is pretty strange. You know, have a four spin interaction, so it's pretty strange. But however, because the string liquid state is a stable state, even when you're changing the Hamiltonian, we probably can still have a string liquid state. But not soluble one. And so we are looking for whether the certain material have a right Hamiltonian which realize this string liquid states. Then that will be really a new state of matter. So it'll be very, very interesting. Okay, yeah, I will stop here. Okay.
today I've become full to choose to give you this present. This is the t-shirt with Wegnersheim logo display. I hope that this is your size. Thank you very much.